rest of their lives in fear, awaiting severe revenge. Well, that was our show, everyone. I'm your host, Daniel Arya, and do join us again next week for another episode of We the People. Bye-bye for now.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wattaqu alladhi amaddakum bima ta'lamun.
And fear he who provided you with that which you know.
أَمَدَّكُمْ بِأَنْعَامٍ وَبَنِينَ
Provided you with grazing livestock and children.
وَجَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ
And gardens and springs.
إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ
Indeed, I fear for you the punishment of a terrible day.
Brothers and sisters, as you were with us in the previous episodes, we have reached the 132nd verse of Surah Al-Shu'ara. وَاتَّقُوا الَّذِي أَمَدَّكُمْ بِمَا تَعْلَمُونَ أَمَدَّكُمْ بِأَنْعَامٍ وَبَنِينَ Be in awe of him who has succored you with what you know. He has succored you with cattle and children. وَجَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ And gardens and springs. إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ Verily, I fear for you the chastisement of a great day. So, these verses altogether make the third part of the statements of Hud. He explains the divine blessings to the servants, to his people, so that in this way he can somehow stimulate that sense of thanksgiving in them, so they might understand the concept of monotheism more, so that they might return to Allah in better terms. And the fact that the Almighty Allah has bestowed on all of us material capitals that we can use because we have human power, that we can use that capital, this meaning has been repeated in different verses of the Holy Quran. Now, some might ask why the Almighty Allah mentions An'am at first and Baneen in the second part. He has succored you with cattle and children. This seems a natural sequence. It does not mean that properties are more significant than children. For example, in chapter Isra, the Almighty Allah says, "And we assisted you with wealth and children, and we made you a numerous host." So mentioning the word an'am, or cattle at first, does not signify priority of cattle and capitals over children. This is just a natural sequence because they were given those cattles at first, and then the children as blessings of the Almighty Allah afterwards.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran. By Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So, dear listeners, after the Almighty Allah says that Prophet Hud mentions some blessings of the Almighty Allah to them, he goes on and says, وَجَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ So, أَمَدَّكُمْ بِأَنْعَامٍ وَبَنِينَ He has succored you with cattle and children, and وَجَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ and gardens and springs. This means Allah gave you green gardens and fountains full of flowing water, and thus He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, enriched your lives both from the point of human power and agriculture, breeding livestock, and the means of transportation, in such a way that you did not feel any deficiency or inconvenience in your lives. You were given everything you needed. But what happened that you forgot the bestower of all these great bounties? Every day and night you sit at the table of His blessings, yet you do not recognize Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what is meant implicitly by mentioning these different great blessings of the Almighty Allah to the ibad, to the servants. So what he did actually was that he somehow stimulated this sense of thanksgiving, so that by piety they can be thankful to the Almighty Allah. Because everybody knows how much the grace of Almighty Allah has been bestowed on him. And the next point is that now we understand how much grace and blessings of the Almighty Allah were given to the people of Hud. بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةٍ. They had so many palaces in the highest places. And along with that, they had an'am, they had cattle. وَجَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ. They also had gardens and springs. Yet, they did not want to recognize the bestower of all these great blessings. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I talked about a saying from our ninth Imam, Imam Muhammad Taqi alayhi salatu wasalam, where Imam said that in order for a task to be successful, you need as-sihha, health, wal-ghina, wealth, wal-ilm, knowledge, and the fourth one was wat-tawfiq. Tawfiq means that help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you in the right direction for what you would like to do. And I emphasize on this point, especially relating it to this custom that we have among Muslims, that whenever we intend to do something, we say, inshallah. This has to be said seriously, not as a joke, not as a way of, you know, pushing this aside that maybe or maybe not. And it has to do with this idea of human endeavor and the role of Allah in his or her success. Because this is where we have to realize you can have the best of health, you could have all the resources financially, you could have all the knowledge and, you know how to do what you want to do, but the results are not guaranteed. It's not in your hands. And that is where the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in. And I mentioned that there is a very beautiful story in the Quran about this issue of saying, inshallah. And I wanted to share that today, keeping in mind that it's kind of a long story in Surah Kahf, Surah number 18. And so I'm not going through the Arabic wordings of this story. I'll just go directly to the story. Just the preamble. Before the story, in the same surah, ayat number 23-24, actually Allah talks about this issue of saying, inshallah. It says, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. Do not ever say that I'm going to do this tomorrow. You know, we just say, I'll do this tomorrow. Allah says, do not say it in this way. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Add the words. If Allah wills that to happen. And if you forgot it, you know, then pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he may guide you in the right path in what you are trying to do. So even later on, if you forgot to say, inshallah, that I'll do this tomorrow, inshallah, seriously, you can still add that later on when you remember that, oh, I said this, but I had this plan, but I didn't say inshallah. Now, later on in that surah, coming to ayat number 32 onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet that, O Muhammad, give them, you know, mathalan. Mathal means parable, a story of two men. And there, it's a very beautiful scenery. Sometimes when I talk about this story to, madrasa children of higher grades, I would suggest them to make a drawing of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one of those two individuals, I gave him, you know, two gardens of grapes, surrounded those two gardens with palm trees. So just, you know, go through your imagination there. And between the two gardens, Allah says, I had even crop plantation in between. And right in middle there, you know, there was also a river. And so, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these gardens yielded their fruits on time and never failed in anything. And then, you know, this person, of course, he had this wealth, but he became arrogant, the one who was given all this. And so one day while he was having a conversation with his friend, and later on the ayat, you know, refers to it, his friend was poor compared to him. And when he was talking to his friend, walking into the garden, he says, I am greater than you in wealth. And, you know, I am greater even in manpower. I have more children, more grandchildren, more servants, you know, who work for me. And he entered his garden while he was unjust to himself. What does this issue of being unjust to ourselves mean? It means doing things that we put ourselves in a situation which is sinful. So we are not hurting anyone. Rather, by doing these things, we actually are unjust to ourselves. So he entered the garden while he was unjust to himself, and he said to his fellow, I do not think that this garden will ever perish. And I do not think, now, he was so sure about what he has. You know, as they say, you know, this is the result of my hard work or my sweat and this and that. His arrogance reached to a point where he says to his friend that I do not think that the hour of resurrection and judgment will ever come. This all talk about, you know, Akhirah and this and that. This is what it is. This is the reality. You know, this is what I have here. But the arrogance is such that he says, even if there is a resurrection and I am returned to my Lord, surely I will find a resting place better than this garden. Look at the audacity here. Number one, not even believing in the resurrection and qiyamah and judgment. And then he says, even if it is there, my situation there will be better than here. So his companion basically then says to him, and these are ayat of Quran, have you disbelieved in him who has created you from the dust and from a drop of sperm? And then he shaped you into a, you know, adult. Basically saying that, you know, have you forgotten who gave you the existence, your physical strength, your intelligence to exploit the land, the earth, and the animals that they are there? All this that you have, this is all from the intelligence and power that Allah has given to you, and even the permission to exploit this earth and the blessings which are there. As for me, you know, you think I'm poor, but I believe in my Lord, and I do not associate anyone with my Lord. This statement is very interesting of his friend. He says, I don't associate anyone with my Lord. It means total reliance on myself. Minus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind of a hidden form of shirk. As if I'm believing, yeah, he's there, but I'm there. Whatever is happening is, you know, I have almost equal role in bringing all this to existence. And so then his friend says to him, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ, when you entered the garden, قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, why did you not say gratefully that Allah wills and there is no power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Ali حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
third martyrdom anniversary of top IRGC General Qasem Soleimani. Exactly 3 years ago, a top Iranian general who had led the fight against Daesh terrorists and defeated them decisively in West Asia was assassinated by America's terrorist army. Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was an Iranian hero, and indeed a regional hero, who had successfully campaigned and defeated Daesh terrorists in West Asia, much to the annoyance and chagrin of the United States, which had trained, armed, and funded Daesh terrorists right from the very beginning. The whole world has acknowledged Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani's vital role in this regard, and he is quite rightly recognized as a defining figure of the axis of resistance and a man who defeated and expelled Daesh terrorists from Iraq and the wider West Asia region. In the early hours of Friday morning, 3rd of January 2020, in a terrorist attack carried out by a US drone near Baghdad International Airport, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, the commander of the IRGC Quds Force, and Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes, the deputy commander of Iraq's Popular Mobilization Forces, also known as Hashad al-Shaabi, were assassinated when a drone-fired missile hit their vehicle. In this special program, we take a look at the life and record of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and his role in strengthening the axis of resistance in West Asia on the occasion of the third anniversary of his martyrdom. Sacrifice of life is the theme of this year's anniversary. Please stay with us. Description of Martyr Soleimani's life now follows. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979, the young Qasem Soleimani joined the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC. In September of 1980, when the eight-year imposed war started, the young Qasem Soleimani trained several brigades in the city of Kerman in southern Iran and sent them to the war front. He became the top commander of IRGC forces in West Azerbaijan province in the early years of the Islamic Revolution. In 1981, he was appointed commander of the 41st Division of the IRGC, the Sarallah Division, and during the eight-year imposed war, he became the commanding officer in charge of Valfaj 8, Karbala 4, and Karbala 5 operations. The huge Karbala 5 operation was the most successful and biggest operation of its kind during the war, and it resulted in a significant weakening of the Ba'athist regime in Baghdad, both politically and militarily. The operation tilted the war in Iran's favor. After the war ended in 1988, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani returned to the city of Kerman and took charge of a campaign against drug trafficking and narcotics. He fought drug smugglers and traffickers along Iran's long border with Afghanistan. The drug traffickers were active along Iran's eastern border and were guided from outside of the country. Lieutenant General Soleimani played a key role in the fight against drug trafficking. In 2000, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, appointed General Soleimani as commander of the elite Quds Force of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC. A position which he held until his assassination and martyrdom by the terrorist US Army in January of 2020. The martyr general Qasem Soleimani was a man who spared no effort in the way of Islam and for his country. His long list of achievements are truly a source of honor for Islamic Iran. One of his many achievements was the strengthening of the resistance front, resistance to US and Zionist hegemony in the West Asia region. As the top commander of the IRGC elite Quds Force, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani played a vital role in strengthening and expansion of the axis of resistance. In fact, he was instrumental in strengthening of both Hezbollah resistance forces in Lebanon and the Palestinian resistance groups in the occupied territories. One can say that Hezbollah's victory over the Zionist regime in the 33-day war in the summer of 2006 and the Palestinian resistance victory over the Zionist regime in the 22-day war in the Gaza Strip was a direct result of Martyr Soleimani's efforts, which bore fruit. Also, the war in Syria, which the West hoped would result in regime change in Damascus and uprooting of Islamic resistance in that country, was transformed into a triumph for the Islamic Resistance Front, and complete destruction of Daesh terrorists in Syria, thanks to the efforts of many, chief among them, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Other achievements of this indefatigable general include the uprooting of Daesh terrorists in Iraq. Forces under the command of Lieutenant General Soleimani played a key role in liberating the cities of Mosul, Tikrit, Jafar al-Sakhr, Samarra, and Karbala from Daesh terrorist occupation in Iraq. He also headed the Umm al-Ma'arek operation, which prevented the fall of the city of Erbil into Daesh hands. The Iraqi Prime Minister, Mohammad Shia al-Sudani, has praised Lieutenant General Soleimani by saying, "The untiring efforts of Martyr Soleimani, hand-in-hand with popular mobilization forces, the Hashd al-Shaabi, for Iraq's security and uprooting of Daesh terrorists, is an excellent example which shows the brotherhood, the friendship between the peoples of Iran and Iraq. This shows clearly that both nations are moving in step and assist each other when the need arises." Mike Wallace, a member of the European Parliament from Ireland, has commented on the achievements of Lieutenant General Soleimani by saying, "No one has done more than General Soleimani to defeat Daesh terrorists in Iraq. The United States of America and its allies, meanwhile, created Daesh terrorists and armed them and trained them. Thus, surprisingly, the world failed to condemn the brutal assassination of Lieutenant General Soleimani by the US military. Thus, it is not unexpected that the fame and reputation of Lieutenant General Soleimani has transcended international borders and gone well beyond the boundaries of Islamic Iran and even the world of Islam. He is rightly regarded as the supporter and the champion of the oppressed and the downtrodden the world over." The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has poignantly said, "The qualities and characteristics of Martyr Soleimani should be looked upon as a school and an academy which teaches us courage, bravery, fighting for what is right and the truth. Only then will the true value of Martyr Qasem Soleimani manifest itself." Martyr Soleimani is rightly regarded as a national hero in the Islamic Republic of Iran and among the freedom and independence-seeking peoples of the world. General Qasem Soleimani also played a key role in countering US plots and schemes in the West Asia region. America's costly and disastrous occupations of both Iraq and Afghanistan were very unpopular back at home. And it soon became clear that continuing US occupation of these lands was totally untenable. Thus, the Americans came up with the idea of forming various proxy terrorist groups and pursuing their political goals in the region by arming and training these proxy terror groups to wreak havoc in the region, and in particular, to disintegrate both Iraq and Syria. A fractured Iraq and Syria would be ideal for the Zionist regime of Israel, and also the Americans would have a much easier time plundering the natural resources of both nations, especially crude oil. This was the main reason for the formation of Daesh terrorists, also known as ISIS terrorists, by the Americans and their allies. Some regional countries, such as Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates, also aided and abetted Daesh or ISIS terrorists by funding them and arming them. It is also worth noting that Donald Trump, in a speech in August of 2016 during the 2016 presidential campaign, accused the then President of the United States, Barack Obama, and the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, of founding the Daesh or ISIS terror group. Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was instrumental in countering this US plot and scheme by forming a regional axis of resistance, effectively uniting the Palestinian resistance groups, Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement, Lebanon's Hezbollah movement, Syrian government forces, Iraqi government forces, and the Yemeni resistance forces. This remarkable achievement was a major thorn in the eyes of the United States and prevented the breakup of both Iraq and Syria. It was a major obstacle to US and Zionist plots and schemes in the West Asia region.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Shaykh Qasem Muhammadi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is For Humanity and you're listening to IRIB English Radio. We've been talking about humanity as depicted in the Quran and in the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu was salam. So today we're going to talk about the etymology of the word insan. Lexicologists have different views with respect to the origin and the root word of insan. Some of lexicologists say that the word insan is coming from the root word anasa, which means to be familiar with or to be acquainted with or to have a sort of orientation towards something or somebody. For example, Raghib al-Isfahani, he says that insan has been called insan because he was created in such a way that his or her consistency is only to get along with others. And that is why it is said that man has a civilized nature, or, you know, it has a sort of civilized side to it. Because human beings cannot go on without having one another, and they cannot have all the tools and equipment alone, so they need one another. Some other lexicologists say that the word insan is coming from the root word nisyan. Actually, it was nisyan, and it is coming from the word nisyan, which means to forget. And the evidence for this is that the tasghir word of insan is unaysyan. So that shows that, because normally when they want to see what the root word of a word is, they look for the tasghir of that word. And the tasghir of the word insan is unaysyan. So it means to forget. And Ibn Manzur, one of the lexicologists, he says that we have a word from Ibn Abbas, the companion of the Holy Prophet, and he says that insan was named or was called insan because he forgot the covenant that he had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a tradition that has been quoted from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam that says, سُمِّيَ الْإِنسَانُ إِنسَانَ لِأَنَّهُ يَنْسَى وَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِي. So in this tradition that has been narrated and it has been related from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, he says, man is called man because he forgets. And God Almighty has said, earlier we made a covenant with Adam, Prophet Adam, and he forgot. Actually, there are other roots and origins that have been mentioned for the word insan, but I believe that these two are maybe closer to what the word insan conveys. Now let's have a very brief definition for insan and for human being. When we refer to the Quran and the hadith of Ahlul Bayt, man is a sort of a creature composed of a body which has its roots in the soil, and also a soul whose origin is divine. So in the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam, sometimes man is interpreted as a combination of intellect and form, and sometimes as a combination of intellect and lust, and some other times as a combination of the upper and lower worlds. Also, in some narrations, man is defined as a being who is moving between God and Shaytan, who sometimes goes to God and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some other times gets closer to Shaytan, al-a'udhu billah, until finally he or she is, is amongst God's friends, awliyaullah, or amongst the Shaytan's friends, or the awliya of Shaytan. Inshallah, we're going to talk about all those traditions, and I'm just giving a brief introduction to the definition of insan as depicted in the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt. In other traditions, man is likened to a scale, mizan, which sometimes diminishes due to ignorance, and some other times increases and tends toward perfection due to knowledge and ma'arafah. Now, let us have a brief look at how the value of man is depicted in the Quran. Inshallah, let's have a short break, and then inshallah, we're going to continue our discussion after this break.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is For Humanity, and you're listening to IRIB English Radio. So now we want to have a brief look at the value of a human being as depicted in the Quran. The verses and ahadith that indicate the importance and the privileged value of man in the world of creation can be divided into six categories. I will refer to these categories, and perhaps I mention a verse with respect to each category, and then inshallah we'll talk about these verses and these categories in detail in the coming programs. So The clearest verse that indicates the importance of the creation of man is the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises himself following the creation of man and say, فَتَبَارَكَ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. So blessed be Allah, the best to create. It should be noted that in the Quran, Almighty Allah has praised himself only once by this sentence, the best to create, or this phrase. It's just once as used in the Quran. And that is when he created man. The second category is those verses in a hadith that emphasize on the dignity of human being and the privilege and superiority of human being over other creatures. For example, this beautiful verse, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. We have honored the sons of Adam, provided them with transport on land and sea, given them for sustenance things good and pure, and conferred on them special favors above a great part of our creation. The third category are those ayat and riwayat that indicate that whatever exists in the earth and in the heavens, they are all created for human beings. Like this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. He it is who created for you all that is in the earth. The next category is where it is indicated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made whatever exists in this world subservient to human beings. For example, this verse, وسخر لكم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض جميعا. He has also made subservient to you all that is in the heavens and in the earth. The next category is those verses and riwayats that indicate the virtues of human beings, like many of the verses of the Quran that talks about the virtues and good characteristics of human being. And the last category is those ayat and riwayat that talks about the position of the perfect man, that talks about al-insan al-kamil, that can in his or her wavering towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reach a point where he or she becomes the manifestation of the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we're going to talk about all these categories in detail in the coming sessions. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's an honor to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program is To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Dear friends, what an excellent opportunity to be here and to speak about the universal persona of the commander of the faithful, the greatest champion of Islam, the defender of the rights of the oppressed, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. This universal persona which transcends time and place, it transcends language and ethnicity, a persona based upon the Islamic values and the Islamic teachings, a persona which can be very easily said to be the persona of Islam and the persona of the Holy Quran.
we find that the 12 divinely appointed Imams, all of them are the manifestations of the true teachings of Islam and the true teachings of the Holy Quran, and they are, of course, a manifestation of the true teachings and the true pure Muhammadan Islam. Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course, lived a beautiful life, a life of 60 plus years, which resulted in martyrdom. Many of the historians have written that it was because of the divine justice of Imam Ali alayhi salam that the people could not handle, because of their weak faith and because of the hypocrisy within their hearts and because of their evil deeds and intentions and because of their ignorance, they could not handle this divine justice which was being implemented by Imam Ali alayhi salam, that eventually they martyred His Eminence while he was in prostration in the masjid. This universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course, is something that we need to try to research, study, analyze. And afterwards, we should really contemplate upon, reflect upon, and of course, try our very best to be able to implement it in our daily lives. Now, in one place, we find that there is a very beautiful tradition from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, where he talks to one of his faithful and loyal companions by the name of Abu Dhar al-Ghafari. When speaking to Abu Dhar al-Ghafari, we find that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, speaks about Imam Ali alayhi salam and says that love for Imam Ali is faith, it is iman. Even though this tradition had been brought up in another program, but we didn't really delve into the profundities and the complexities and really the wisdom behind this saying. And so we had thought that it would be nice to be able to speak just a little bit about it. Now, we find first and foremost, well, what we need to understand is that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household, when he says something, he does not say something out of mere human, self-centered or selfish or personal or private reasons or intentions. Of course, when he is saying something, he is the Messenger of Allah. And so this is a very sensitive situation, and the Almighty Allah knows this as well. And so in the Holy Quran, the Almighty Allah says that whatever the Messenger of Allah says is by divine command or divine order or revelation. And all in all, it is being heard and watched and under the supervision of the Almighty Allah. So anything and everything that the Messenger of Allah says is in accordance and is according to the satisfaction of the Almighty Allah. Now here he's saying that loving Imam Ali is iman. Of course, we might think that how is this possible? But just to take one simple aspect of this is that, well, when you love Imam Ali alayhi salam, then of course you will believe in his imamat, you will believe in his wilaya, and you will believe that he is the caliph and the rightful successor and the wali of the Messenger of Allah, and he is the wasi, the vizier, the successor, he is the divinely appointed imam. How can it be such that you have true love in your heart for the commander of the faithful, but you don't believe in these other things? Matter of fact, the true love of the commander of the faithful comes in this very aspect, to consider him to be the divinely appointed leader, the divinely appointed political, religious leader of the Muslim world. Because this is truly why we admire the commander of the faithful. It is not merely because of who he is, or merely because of his relationship to the Messenger of Allah, or his persona in it of itself, even though all of these things are there, all of these things do increase that love that we have for the commander of the faithful. But where does this love come from? For example, if Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, God forbid, hypothetically speaking,